Thank you. Hi, I'm Jessica Bubert, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Illinois. And for the last several years, I've had the privilege of working with an amazing team of people that are trying to use functional genomics to improve nitrogen utilization in maize. And we have been doing this for a little more than a decade, not me personally, but as a lab group we have, and so we wouldn't have been able to do it without the support of the people you see on the screen for the last 10 years. So why the long-term dedication to nitrogen utilization efficiency? As you can see here, the total nitrogen consumption in the United States has really gone up a lot in the last 40 years, and the yellow in the background is the total use. But as a farmer, what really gets me going is the blue line, which is the total U.S. dollars spent on nitrogen in the United States. So everybody's heard about how we're trying to ask farmers to feed 9 billion people, but they're spending a lot of money to do that. And the other reason is that there are some environmental issues involved in nitrogen runoff. As you can see, and this is the map of total nitrogen loads or yields, and the Mississippi River Basin is a big issue when it comes to nitrogen runoff. And the 12 states shown here in red already have federally mandated nutrient reduction strategies. And so not only are we asking farmers to grow all this food, but we're asking them to do it without putting any more inputs on. So that's something that's really near and dear to our hearts, and that's why we've been working so hard on this. So our strategy for doing this involves a sampling scheme where we grow diverse germplasm at high and low nitrogen rates. The left is a picture of an aerial picture of our nitrogen response nursery, and so you can see the response there in the vegetative tissue, but on the right you can see the up close the vegetative tissue between high and low nitrogen, and then in the bottom again low and high nitrogen. And these pictures are all, they're grown in paired plots, so these are the same genotype grown next to each other in the field, so the only difference is that nitrogen application. You can also see the difference in the grain. Again, these are the same genotype, just grown under high and low nitrogen. And so on these plots, we collect grain biomass, grain nitrogen, stover biomass, stover nitrogen. We're able to do small RNA sequencing, and then we also look at Zn storage with a flowery 2 RFP reporter gene, which you can see here on the bottom in pink, under low N and high N again. So by growing a diverse germplasm in this system, we've been able to see some general historic trends related to improving nitrogen utilization efficiency and related traits. So we can see that historically breeding has improved grain yield, harvest index, and post-flowering nitrogen uptake, but total plant nitrogen has stayed the same. So what that indicates to us is that nitrogen utilization efficiency, which is how well a plant can remobilize the nitrogen that it has into biomass, is really the target that we should be looking at for future improvement. So in order to look for genes that work to help us improve nitrogen utilization efficiency, we took a three-step genetic association approach. And so the first step of that was to do this type of sampling with a diverse array of germplasm. And the one that I'll show you next is actually a cross of the intermated B73-MO17 near isogenic lines, with Illinois high protein. And so once we did that, we used existing marker information for those lines to do QTL mapping. And so when we did that, we found 9 QTL regions. And this mapping was for, you can see on the bottom left, we did nitrogen utilization, grain yield, grain nitrogen, stover nitrogen, and stover biomass. So we found 9 QTL that are really important for those traits, either one of the traits that's really important or several of the traits. And these QTL regions, some of them were pretty big. They ranged in, right here. You can see that the number of genes in these regions range from 1 to a section that was so big we aren't sure how many genes are in there. And so in order to narrow that down, we looked for genes that had SNPs that were showing types of recent selection. So, for example, if they were divergent between heterotic groups, that was something that would be showing recent selection. So by doing that, we were able to narrow down most of these QTL regions into just 1 or 2 genes of interest. And so you can see here, these are some lead candidate genes and their functions from those 9 regions. And so we've been able to test those with transposon mutants, transgenics, near isogenic lines. And what we found is that the teaser for my poster, the ones here in red, variants for those genes all have an effect on NUE phenotypes. And so what I've talked about here is just the hybrid information, but we've also looked at how inbred and hybrid gene expression differs, and we've also been looking at the effect of epigenetics on these types of traits. So if you want to hear more about that, you can come to poster number 802. Thank you.